It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. It is The Drive live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. We're going to set things back right now to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios for your Top 5 at 5. Here's Adam Hickman.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, Josh Heupel added up-and-comer Matt Merritt to the staff this afternoon. Many people consider Merritt as a rising star in the industry. He previously coached at James Madison and has served as a graduate assistant under Urban Meyer at Ohio State.
Yeah, filling out
solid hire.
Yeah, you gotta have those guys, the quality control guys, the grad assistants. Those are important positions in a big operation.
Number two.
Are they? Are they really?
Well, we saw what kind of impact they can have when they're not good at their job.
I don't know. Do you think it's not that important, Bear?
I don't think it's as important as being able to cheat without getting caught, a la Bama. You know?
Well, I mean, again, that's part of it. I think when the investigation stuff comes out, and the Freedom of Information Act records request and all that stuff, when it comes out, I think that you'll find that some of those support staffers were a key part in all this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's Niedermeyer and Pruitt at the crux of it, but those support staffers, like there were a couple of guys and Trey wrote about this in one of his stories when he was covering it a month or so ago, that there's some of those guys that were caught up in all this mess as well.
Number two, according to John Clayton, J.J. Watt will not be going to play for the Steelers. Clayton says it is down between the Packers, Titans, and Bills, while the Raiders could potentially be a dark horse candidate to land J.J. Watt here.
If I'm him, I'm going to the Pack.
Ooh. Go to the Titans. And go up there to play in Lambeau in the freezing cold.
Go to Buffalo.
Or Buffalo. Buffalo, come to Nashville. Exploding scene, no state income tax, great young team. He might be the guy. He might be the guy we need. He might be able to do what Clowney was supposed to do this past year. Come on up to Nashville, J.J. Watt. You got another year or two left in the tank. Let's do this.
Number three, while we were at the break, the Tennessee Vols baseball team just scored run number 5. And as I'm saying this, here comes number 6 and number seven.
Good Lord.
It is.
Our buddy Tony Vitello, no mercy, Russ. No mercy.
We have been in the bottom of the first inning for about 36 minutes now, going on 40 minutes. With one out for Pomeroy.
A mercy rule? Look, there is nothing worse in sports. I'd forgotten about this, but I played on a softball team a couple of years ago. And you know, it's just something to do for exercise. I hadn't played baseball in a long time, but you're out there, and like the first game, we're playing against a roster full of softball guys, right? And they just slaughtered us. Just
softball guys.
Yeah, and we're out there. I'm in the outfield, and running down balls, actually working up a sweat. There's nothing worse than being the fielding team in a baseball game when you're just getting hammered and shelled like that, because you're out there for like half an hour in the blazing sun. Everybody's angry. Oh, it's just the worst.
Do you remember what the final score was, Russell?
Well, it was softball, so we had a mercy rule. We got mercy ruled. They don't have mercy. This is D1 baseball, right? It's Division I athletics. This ain't intramurals, to quote Dan Hawkins. They're going to let this thing go. They might.
There's no kind of mercy rule on it?
I don't think so.
Look that up for us, one of you two.
I'm on it.
College baseball, there's no mercy rule.
Yeah, right now it is 7-0 with runners on second and third with one out in the first inning.
One out. Oh, man. Ooh.
I'd have mercy, Coach.
Tony Vitello sweeping the leg right now.
Yeah, told you. Wow.
So number four today. Bucks linebacker Jason Pierre-Paul announced today via social media that he had some minor knee surgery to clean up some things in there and help ease some pain.
Yeah, he's at that age where Man, he's been around a long time.
Three rings.
One for each of his fingers.
Have you seen the picture of his hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Less a hand, more a deformed claw. But hey, man, he's had a great career. And that's cool, man, because a lot of people thought when he had that injury with the fireworks that might be it for him. He's managed to come back from it. He came back that season, I believe, and played that season for the Giants. And yeah, he's been on three Super Bowl teams now. So pretty cool story.
And number five to wrap things up, a sheep was found in Australia living in the wild. So obviously it was long overdue on a good shearing. And after being found, they gave it a good shear. And this sheep lost 78 pounds.
Yeah, I saw that.
78
incredible story.
Pounds.
Poor fella.
What is the normal amount of wool that is to be sheared?
Not 70. If you see the picture of what this sheep looks like, you've never seen anything like it.
Like, I don't think you could see. Like, when it was like laying on the ground, you would just think it was some kind of weird-looking rock. It didn't even look like an animal.
It's a weird-looking rock?
The wool on its sides was probably 2 feet thick and just completely matted and gray.
So what? Oh, wow. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, that looks like... So what happens if they can't be sheared?
Like just in the wild like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think at some point they become vulnerable to a predator, because obviously that little fellow wasn't moving very good with all that on him.
The New York
Post. If you dyed it orange, you'd look like Roger.
How do you when it gets that big, like, are you going there with a chainsaw or something? Like, how do you get that off?
I watched a show on Discovery Channel about it. They just use like these special clippers. They just kind of, it wouldn't be fun. They dig into the bottom of it. So, seen the pictures after where they got the little blanket around him, keep him warm.
I imagine it'd be pretty cold.
It's Australia. It doesn't get cold in Australia.
Hey, I got a quick mercy rule stat here.
Yes.
As it's now 8-0.
Yeah, the score is now 8-0. A mercy rule may be in use when a team is ahead by 10 or more runs after 7 innings. So this game's got to go 7 before it ends.
So what happened last night when we were up by 20?
We were up 10-1 at the top of the 8th. So it was not a 10-run lead. We scored 11 runs in the 8th.
Gotcha.
Now, college baseball, it's a little bit looser than, say, the major leagues, right? If Vitello and the other manager, if it got really out of hand, like they could come together with the umpire and say, look, like,
did you listen to what the boy said? There's a mercy rule. It comes into play before the 7th inning, so.
It does say that several conferences only institute the rule on Sundays or the final day of a conference series so that the visiting team can travel early. I imagine that rule will probably be in effect today.
Pine Bluff did finally just now get through this first inning.
And they're supposed to have pretty decent pitching from what I've seen.
They've already had to make one pitching change this inning, so.
Oof. Nothing like going to the bullpen in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, Braves fans know how that goes. Nothing worse than just getting shelled in baseball, and there's just no end to it. Yeah, you go to the bullpen, and they're just running around, batting around on the lineup, and yeah, not a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun. Shout out to Arkansas Pine Bluff for taking their whooping like a man, like men today, assuming that they are. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. That is the top 5 at 5 brought to you by Citizens National Bank. Check out a Plus Perks checking account at Citizens National Bank. Free checking, free internet banking, free bill paying, free e-statements. No minimum balance requirement, extended evening hours, and Saturday banking available at certain branches. Visit cnbtn.com to find out more. That's cnbtn.com or call 865-453-9031 for Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Our number, If you want to get up with us this afternoon, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to jump in this afternoon, Tennessee basketball in action, a late tip. We're still 4 hours away from the game, Bear.
Ugh. Yeah, it's going to be a late night tonight.
Going to be a late night, especially
not
for
as
Godfrey.
Late as, yeah, so I was going to say.
Volunteer your action, probably tip off around 11.
Yeah, if they're lucky.
They'll put in a good hour, though. They'll go past midnight, more than likely.
Those guys will?
Oh, yeah. They're not mailing it in. They're getting after it.
Well, yeah, I didn't say they were.
Volunteer your action as soon as the Vols and Commodores are done. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. We have somebody's chimed in on the smoking hot question. Greatest athlete of the 21st century, DJ Loop says, hands down, Cristiano Ronaldo.
No. That's a, I don't, to me, we might have, maybe should have put a disclaimer on it. You know, should it be individual sports or?
No.
I don't, Ronaldo's not as good an athlete as, he's just not. No.
What about Serena
Williams?
Dumb
take. No. No. Absolutely not.
Who?
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams. No.
Floyd Mayweather.
That's dumb. Ooh. That's even dumber than Serena.
He's in the conversation, man. He's never lost.
I don't care. He's not the greatest. He's just, you know, a punk that's really good at running. Ooh. From other
we're gonna people. We're gonna have Crotchety Bear on for the rest of the show. Is that how this?
You
is?
Might. If you go start in with the Floyd Mayweather talk.
You want to go ahead and do your thing
gotten,
on now, or should we just save that for later?
We'll save that one for later. But we all know Floyd Mayweather would have gotten moited if he had to box against Tommy the Hitman or Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray.
Well, I figured
any
you'd
of
like
those guys
that.
From my youth.
I figured you'd like that more than me just coming out here and saying Tom Brady.
I mean, Adam, do you like being an intern on our show?
He's playing into his early 40s and a bunch of Super Bowls. Let's get Westchester in here. Westchester, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, I wanted to update you guys. There's one unwritten rule about a mercy rule, and there's one actual written rule, but it's not a mercy rule. The unwritten rule is that when the Tennessee baseball balls are up by 10, you get to heckle your own team. That's the mercy rule. And then the actual rule on travel is on SEC conference games only. He was close. You can't start an inning after 6 p.m. on Sunday, which has to do with more with weather delays and stuff like that. And that's all travel related.
That makes it. Well, they're student athletes first, Westchester. You got to protect the integrity of the education.
Right. Guys, you got so many questions out there, I don't even know where to start. So why don't you tell me which one you want me to answer first?
Greatest athlete of the 21st century.
Usain Bolt. Sorry.
Who?
I got to agree with you. I got to give you. It's Usain Bolt. It's got to be, right?
I think
no,
so.
No, I mean, he's just incredibly fast. I don't think he – I don't put him in front of Phelps.
But is it – I mean, isn't being fast – like if there's one ultimate athletic activity, running, like that has to be it, right?
No,
it's not. You can make an argument to be it's damn swimming. That's a hell of a lot harder to dominate. I mean, you know, he just Michael Phelps smashed people.
Right, well, but swimming isn't going to.
No, hold on. I can't remember every Phelps race, but I remember a couple of those that were really close. He did smash some people too. But if you want to talk about smashing people, Usain Bolt. Like, did anybody ever really challenge him? My memories of him are just where he wouldn't run his hardest. He would literally let up and be laughing.
Yeah.
He was the pictures.
No, you guys just moved to Jamaica then. What's the next question you want to answer?
I never saw Michael Phelps like stopping, swimming on his back during freestyle, looking back, like taunting people. Like Usain Bolt was on another level.
And the reason that running is more important, I'm also going the fact that it's just more important as an overall athlete, because running is involved in a lot more sports than, you know, just one, like swimming is. The thing about it, too, is Deion Sanders proved that you can have a dual sport career, sort of, just by being fast. I mean, Deion Sanders was not a good baseball player, but he was a good hitter, but he was a heck of an outfielder with his speed and his judgment. So running makes for a better athlete than a swimmer. Sorry.
I mean, it's just a more often used skill. I mean, there are people who go through their entire lives never learning how to swim. If you've got two legs, at some point you've had to run from something or someone at some point in your life. I just feel like that is the quintessential athletic skill. There are other ones. It's not the only one. I feel like that is the most important one.
And going back to how you guys opened the show, Bear, good guess, though. I thought it was me, too, until he said Blue Moon. I don't drink Blue Moon, but I was trying to remember if I was at Chet's this afternoon or not. So sounds like a good thing to – I may head down there tomorrow. I haven't been there in a little while. But let me go see what's going on down there. Baseball is off to a good start, it looks like. Probably going to dominate this series, I assume. Arkansas PB is not exactly a basketball talent. Coaching hire, the last guy that we just hired today, I don't know how long he's been at James Madison, but he's the only one, I think, on the staff that has the potential of having won a national title. Is that true?
Who's that?
The coach from James Madison we hired today.
Oh, wow. Did he win a...
I'm not sure how long he was there, but they won about 4 years ago, so...
Yeah, I don't know if he was there at that time. We'll look that up, though. Thank you, Westchester. We got to let you go here. We have a special call-in here this afternoon on The Drive. VFL Terry Fair calling in, wants to weigh in on this greatest athlete. T. Fair, what's up, man? We're talking greatest athlete of the 21st century, just the past 20 years or so. So we're not going back into the 90s.
Well, listen, I'm not even getting into that, Russ. So I'm just on my way home. I said, man, let me turn on The Drive and see what's going on. So, and I turn on and I hear Bear on. All right.
Oh, no. Come on,
I mean,
T. Fair.
I don't know what's going on with him today, but for him to say Floyd Mayweather is nothing and talk to a guy that's never lost before as somebody who runs, I mean, listen. He talks about Usain Bolt to Michael Phelps. Listen, as a founding member of The Drive, Russ, can you do me one favor before I get off? And I'll hang up and listen. All right, can you flush Bear again for me?
Flush him. I think hit the button, Al.
Yeah, flush.
Terry Fair,
hey, I'll hang up. Hey, Bear, I'll hang up and listen and go wash my hands after that flush. But come on,
that's
man.
That's good.
All right. All right, fellas, I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, we got a new guy on the board. I don't think he can find it for you. I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
I flushed him.
Well, I mean, you know, Terry, I'll say to Terry is he's a youngin' like you, Russ, and, you know, the babies, Alex and Adam. But Terry was probably,
he's like your age, dude. You're like 3 or 4 years older than him.
And Terry Fair is like your age, bro. He's maybe like 3 or 4 years older than you. So Terry probably doesn't remember the golden age of boxing the way I do. Floyd Mayweather compared to Marvelous Marvin Hagler,
Hold on. Is Terry still there?
No, he has dropped.
Okay.
No, Terry's close to your age.
He has a great Thomas Hearn story about meeting him.
He got to meet the Hitman?
He met the Hitman in Detroit back in the day. Maybe he'll tell us that story next time. But you just got called out, Bear. You just got called out.
I mean, Terry, you know, I did. It was a cheap shot.
He slapped you around.
I wouldn't go that
far. He made my day.
He took you for a ride. You know, you're trying to goad me, and you know me, Russ. You know my temper. You're trying to goad me into saying something
fair.
I'll regret.
Fair.
And I'm not going to do it. I love Terry Fair.
Just stay down,
one of my all-time favorite Vols.
Just stay down.
But I think he's a little out of line, a little out of order today. I'm not going to lie.
Don't do this to yourself. Just
stay
down.
I really didn't realize that he was in a Floyd Mayweather sheet.
Don't get up. Don't get up. T Fair just dunked on you.
No.
Put him on your head. You're laying down right now. Just stay down.
No.
Just stay down. Don't get up.
You know, I'm not wired that way. I'll get back up. So, I mean, it's wow. Got taken to the shed by T Fair.
Yeah.
As I was saying, he's a youngster, and he doesn't understand.
He's 45 years old.
Well, then I don't know. Maybe he's forgotten how good those guys were. Boom Boom Mancini, Sugar Ray, Tommy Hearns, all those guys. Floyd Mayweather would have gotten crushed if he had boxed back in the 80s. He'd have gotten murdered. Floyd Mayweather. Get out of here, Terry Fair. Go on. Get.
Dude, just stay down.
And the reason I'm arguing against, I just naturally take the opposite of whatever the hell Westchester's saying. I mean, I think it's a really good debate about, you know, you're talking about athlete between Phelps.
Well, here's what I say about Mayweather. I'm not going to deny his athlete. He's a great fighter, man. There's just no denying.
Sure.
You ask anybody who knows anything about boxing, they will say that he is on the Mount Rushmore as one of the greatest of all time. Now, I don't think he's I think that we let our personal opinion of him is he's not a very good guy, man. He likes to puts his hands on women. He beats on women. Like, I mean, that's been established. He's been arrested for it numerous times. Not a very good human being. But here's my thing. Whenever we talk about that bear, I always say neither was Mike Tyson. The same checks go against him as Mayweather did, but he is celebrated largely by our generation. And Mayweather's not. Why do we hold Mayweather accountable for the stuff he did outside of the ring, but not Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I don't know. In a lot of ways, you know, I mean, Tyson did, 4 or 5 years for aggravated rape or, you know, whatever he went to jail for. And then you had not only that, you know, I mean, he beat his wife and, you know, like you said, just not a very nice bit another, you know, competitor's ear off. You know, that whole incident with Holyfield. So I don't know what the answer to that question is. All I'm saying in all seriousness about Floyd Mayweather, I'm the old guy on the porch drinking my lemonade, man.
Hold on. And just one thing to add to the Tyson thing. Everything that you say about Mayweather in the ring, we can say about him too. Tyson never had to fight. I mean, okay, maybe Holyfield, maybe Riddick Bowe were guys – he didn't exactly have a long line of elite heavyweights challenging him for the crown. Who did he beat for the belt? Trevor Burbick? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Spinks? The guys that he fought? Peter McNeely? He fought a bunch of just tubs as well. So, I don't know. I've always found that interesting that he's – to me, you either got to celebrate them both or shun them both. But for some reason, we do one with the other and the other with the other. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire cruise along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Do have some lines available, 865-546-8200. We had Willie on, Bear, but I just got the message. Alex says, Willie said we have to get him in before 5:30 because he's at the game and is about to go back in. So I guess he couldn't hold through the break. Big surprise there. Willie didn't want to hold.
Yeah, a little disappointed. I was hoping we'd get a live update from the stadium there, but
And what was he going to tell us that we didn't know? Vitello and the boys are just slapping Arkansas pine.
Yeah, I think that it is going to be a long couple of hours for Arkansas Pine Bluff if they don't get that mercy rule soon. Hitman on Twitter asks, and this is an interesting question, what is going on with this kangaroo court? Terry's been gone from the show for 7 years and still has flush privileges. How does that work?
Well, I wondered that myself, but I mean, it's T-Fair, man. Even I know that. I mean, he's, you know, it's Terry Fair, dude.
Well,
he flexed right off the bat. He pulled the, I'm one of the founders of the, I mean, but trying to argue constitutional law with Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. And the guy pulled that, you know, card and threw that down on the table and trumped everything. He's a founding member of the tribe. What the hell am I supposed to say?
It's how this works. It's how this works. We have several Drive Emeritus hosts, and they all have flush privileges. There's only a few people that have flush privileges. Dave Hooker, Terry Fair, Richie D., Trey Wallace. There's a handful. They'll always have flush privileges.
Anytime Chance Collins.
They come back, you earn that. You have to earn those stripes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away. It's a degree on the wall. It doesn't stop. It doesn't go away just because you move or you take another job or something like that. That's, you're part of the family.
But now I will tell you this, Russ. I mean, it'll kill me. It'll kill me to do it. But if Terry continues with what I feel like is somewhat of a adversarial relationship with me, I will not hesitate to flush Mr. Fair. Like a bad Mexican dinner.
An existential question, can a drive host flush another drive host?
And if he continues to call up and commit a former host on current host violence, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's what it felt like to that Auburn receiver. I can't even remember what his name was when, Terry did the number on him back in the 97 championship game.
See, now you're confusing T-Fair with Leonard Little. He's got you so flustered right now. You don't know which way is up and which way
is really
down.
I'm really not. And you need to go back. All you guys can't even get the stuff right. You need to go back and watch the 97 championship game. I bet you I've watched that game more than you have. When you were in high school, probably sitting down there with your buddies from the audiovisual club.
I bet you.
Smoking a bong.
Did you just say, I bet you I've watched that game more than you have? How old are you? Just stop. Let's get back to the phones here. Darren is up next. Darren, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Not much, Darren. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, listen, I got to agree with Bear on this. I mean, I think T-Fair's being a little bit of a line stepper, man.
Ooh, how so?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's just that generational bias thing. I don't know what the age difference is with T-Fair and Bear and people like myself, but, I mean, it's, you know. I mean, I think Bear makes a good point about that. I mean, I'm just being honest about it. I love T-Fair, of course. Don't get me wrong. We all do, but.
Yeah. I figured out during the break. So the best way to put it is T Fair would have been in like middle school when I was in high school. So
hold on. You guys are missing the parameters of today's smoking hot question. We're limiting it to this century, the last 20 years. So you can't sit there and say take a boxer who boxed in the 2000s and 2000-aughts or whatever they're called and compare him to somebody who boxed in the 80s.
Yeah, he just kind of ran from everybody. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I think you can have a pretty – to me, the argument, the debate between Bolt and Phillips is – I mean, it's a good one. They're both, probably don't have many peers on the planet as far as just physical, raw athletic ability.
Bolt and who?
And Phelps, not Phillips, sorry. I misspoke. Phelps, Michael Phelps. But at the end of the day, and it may be just because we're all worried about him and he's probably in ICU laid up right now, I kind of still think Tiger's, you know, better than both of them.
Yeah, Tiger.
He completely revolutionized the game.
I mean, Tiger's the guy you tuned in for. I mean, I've never seen anybody dominate like that. There's just, you know, he was a privilege to watch, and hopefully he'll get to come back and play again. But did you guys see that stuff on Twitter from the South Carolina fans about Neyland Stadium today?
About Neyland?
Yeah, I mean, it's some South Carolina fans. You know, and then it turned into a whole big deal. You know, all these SEC, other SEC schools, you know, trashing Neyland Stadium as a venue. Stuff. I mean, was I the only one that saw that?
Evidently, I did not see it. So somebody was taking some cheap shots at Neyland and the Vols, and it got out of hand. And all of a sudden, they're ripping on our stadium and our legendary coach, the general Robert Reese Neyland. Is that how that went?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly who tweeted it out to start with, but there was just a question: you know, what's the worst venue in the SEC? You know, and then
I saw that. Yeah. Who was it? The one I agreed with is Trey knows him. Is it Brad Logan? He covers Ole Miss, so I think he's a friend of Trey's. And his is hands down. He said Legion Field in Birmingham, and there's not a close second. And he's exactly right. That place is a dump.
Yeah, I saw a few games there, and it is a dump for sure. But I just. I've never hated South Carolina before, but now, you know, I guess I've got to do that. You know, I mean, what are they thinking, man? What is South Carolina thinking, chirping off about Neyland Stadium, dude?
I don't know, because that place they got's rinky-dink by SEC standards.
Well, you know? all you got to know about South Carolina and the state of their program is they got dunked on twice by Jeremy Pruitt. Okay, including this year when we went 3-7. Pruitt still went in there and slapped them around in their own house. So I would take whatever they have to say with a grain of salt. That's just me.
Yeah. Butch Jones. I just wanted to ask you guys that because I didn't know that was a take. I never knew that people disrespected Neyland. I mean, I always thought that was sort of a given that Neyland was a cool place and, you know, I mean, whether or not we're good or not, I mean, you know, at least that's you know, Neyland's one of those places you want to go see a game at. You know what I'm saying?
I think it still is. Now it's needs some TLC. I don't know if you guys how often you get down there anymore, but if you go down under the south end zone and on the east side of the stadium, it's old and decrepit. And they were supposed to, you know, John Curry had his plan to renovate the stadium a couple of years ago, and then Fulmer came in and basically tore those up and put forth his own plans, and now COVID has hit, and so all the big facility projects are more or less on hold, and it's starting to take a toll. It's been a long time since they've really done some work on Neyland Stadium. Now, the west and north sides still look pretty good. They're relatively new because they put all the brickwork in and all that stuff, and that looks fine, but it does need some updating, particularly on the south and east sides of the stadium. But yeah, it's still an historic building, but they're going to have to address some of those needs at some point, Darren.
Yeah, you're right, Russ. Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool that I found something else to hate today. I thought you guys might be in on it. But I appreciate the show, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. And I've not heard Danny White address that yet. I know he's had bigger fish to fry, but at some point he's going to have to address the stadium bear because this is twice now that massive renovations, we're talking about $300+ million renovation that had been planned not once but twice, and now that's basically put on hold. And here's the thing. Fulmer came in, and I think he did a good thing by revisiting John Curry's plans because I did not like Curry's plans. He had that weird thing at the south end zone.
The club. He was gonna turn the south end zone in a club seating or something.
Well, yeah, it was like their on
cabanas.
The
yeah, it was just dumb as hell. And John Curry was a complete moron.
Fulmer's plans were much better, I thought. But I do wonder, will Danny White want to put his stamp on any potential Neyland renovation? And is that a thing that we can even talk about now? with
I don't see how
revenue losses that they're going to incur last year, this year, and into the foreseeable future, they might have to scale that back down pretty drastically, I'm afraid.
You know, they need to. They definitely need to address the structural issues and, you know, some of the hygienic ones that are go along with being in the south end zone, you know, the south side of the stadium. But, I mean, that's the soul of that place is the south end zone in there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just it, to me, it's sacrilege to, you know.
That's where, like, the students and the diehard people sit. I mean, I don't want to take seats away from students or the people that live in the south end zone.
I mean, that's where I grew up. I was a Southie. That's where our family seats were. You know, a lot of my friends, the students. It's just it's the soul of the stadium, man.
Well,
resides in that south end zone.
I think they sucked the soul out of that place a long time ago. That's just me personally. I think at this point, the thing to do is if you want to get more middle-aged folks in there, students are probably going to show up to some extent no matter what, although that's been a problem in recent years. But I've been saying this for a while now. I think that eventually you're going to have to rip the bleachers out and put in chair backs because I don't know.
That would help me out a lot.
Well, yeah, and some people say that's sacrilege, but you go to – nobody goes to an NFL or an NBA or an NHL game anymore. Nobody goes to a Major League Baseball game anymore. You go to the Smokies game, and you're sitting in a chair back for the most part. Now, they do have some bleachers down the sidelines and everything, but people, for the prices that these places are charging, they have a certain baseline set of expectations, and a chair – with armrests and a cup holder in front of me and decent leg room, it's just sort of become a baseline expectation. And Needland's not the only one. There are a lot of stadiums, of course, that don't meet it. But I think that I think you're going to see that change in the next 15, 20 years as more and more stadiums are built. I think that they're going to go to more and more chair backs.
Well, we're looking at beautiful Lindsey Nelson Stadium on the TV right now, and they've got chairs as well. I wouldn't be surprised.
And they've got bleachers down the sides and stuff there too. But yeah, I mean, they Lindsey Nelson's had those chairs in there since it was built, the 1990s. I remember going over there and sitting up there. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We're live this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Old Ben Franklin Motors. One more segment headed your way if you are in the market for a new set of wheels. Your search starts and ends right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. It's their end of the month blowout. They have spectacular deals on these new Mitsubishis. If you're in the market for a truck, if you're in the market for an SUV, I see two really cool hardtop Jeeps out there by Kingston Pike right now. You can come test drive one of those bad boys as well. Come by. Let them take you out for a test drive today. It's a beautiful day to do that, and tomorrow looks great as well. Stay with us. One more segment to go. Speak now forever. Hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number. The Drive continues next.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. Drive continues. Somebody brought up a great point here to me during the break, Bear. We talk about these what-if stories when we're discussing great athletes of the 21st century. What if Tiger hadn't blown out the knee, had all the personal problems? He'd probably have 18 majors by now. What if Mike Tyson hadn't gone to prison? I know that happened in the 20th century. But what if Michael Vick hadn't fallen into, and I know he grew up in that culture, so maybe he was always going to have to pay for that, but what if he hadn't? You talk about an athlete.
Whew. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the one, I mean, I tweeted it out, and I, you know, I'll die on this hill. To me, the greatest athlete in my mind that ever played any kind of stick and ball sport, anything is Hank Aaron. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Nobody's even close to him in baseball. He has records and numbers that are just mind-boggling, what he was able to do.
Okay, so from an athletic standpoint, this century, is there anybody in baseball that's even in this conversation?
I don't know about baseball. I think Kobe, you might want to put Kobe in the conversation. Just freakishly, you know, the things that he could do athletically were kind of freakish. That's what I've been racking my brains at the start of the show about, you know, who in the last 20 years, you know, I know there's some guys in the NFL that, you know, to me, I always get back to like tight ends like Gronkowski and Gonzalez and hell, even Jason Witten. And some of the defensive ends, those guys that are, I'll tell you one that's sneaky, just sneaky, crazy good athlete is, the guy that goaltender for the Preds. What's his name?
Pecorine.
Yeah, Pecorine.
Pekka?
I mean, the guy's 6'7", 260 pounds, and is as flexible as, you know, Simone Biles.
He's a few games away from being a seventh all-time in wins.
I mean, I'm not saying I think that. I'm just saying you probably could make an argument just on a just raw physical and athletic ability. I mean, you don't see too many 6'7", 260-pound guys that can contort, you know, do splits and contort themselves the way that guy can, all while getting a piece of frozen vulcanized rubber shot at your head at like 130 miles an hour.
Folks, it's been fantastic out here at Old Ben. Always enjoy our live shows out here. And again, encourage you to take advantage of this special end-of-the-month blowout they've got going on out here, and it lasts, of course, till the end of the month, and we'll reconvene on Monday. It will be March, and it will be time for the madness, but you need to get out here to Old Ben Franklin Motors for the end of the week and get yourself one of these new Mitsubishis. If you haven't test drive it, the new Mitsubishi Mirage, where else are you going to find a car for $179 a month you finance here at Old Ben Franklin Motors? That comes with a 100,000-mile warranty, by the way. So they stand behind the quality of the vehicle. And you need to come down here and check one out. Love the Outlander. Love the Eclipse Cross. Great cars down here. Come check them out. They'll take great care of you at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from the Chop House. Shop online, oldbenfranklinmotors.com. Wrapping up. On a Wednesday, the Overtime Boys are set to take you through the 8 p.m. hour. Of course, Tennessee basketball tonight at 9. Voluntary reaction starts as soon as the game is over, probably right around 11 p.m. on your Fan Run app.
Hey, real quick, we've talked about Usain Bolt a lot today. I've got a quick trivia question for you guys. In his final 100-meter race, Usain Bolt came in third. Who are the two athletes that beat him?
Justin Coleman.
Yeah, Christian Coleman was second, and Justin Gatlin was first.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Fantastic. Let's get Roger in here. Roger, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Roger, we're doing fantastic. Thanks. Hope you are too, bud.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to ask you, Russell Mayer, about the game tonight. I know it's a late game, and I just want to ask you, what's it been in Nashville tonight? Do you think Tennessee's mind, what's it been a late game, like one tonight, you think Tennessee be ready to play?
I would hope so. In-state rivalry, playing in Memorial Gymnasium, knowing that you absolutely laid a stinker the last time, you better be ready to play tonight, Raj. I would hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very, very, like, Tennessee ready to play tonight, late game tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we will. I'm hoping that there'll be a little PO'd, as they say, about their performance from the other day and ready to play. Because now, if they're not, Rog, they could get beat tonight. You know, Scottie Pippen Jr., you know, Pippen's a good player.
Yeah, you're right. And they can get beat. So they can't lose to the Vanderbilt. They gotta win tonight to get back on the win track and get play Auburn next. So that's an important game. So important for them to win tonight. But I was wanting to ask you too about the Russell Bear about the article from the guy today that wrote an article about Josh Hopper. I was wanting to ask you about the article. Do you like what he did? I didn't see it, but I heard something about it. I just want to ask you about it. Do you like the article of him about Josh Hopper?
I mean, I think Heupel is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing at this point, Roger. I mean, he's filling out his staff. I think it's interesting how long it's taken him, but I don't necessarily know that that's a detriment. You got to get it right. These are important hires, and I don't know that Tennessee's missed out on anything by it taking so long. But I saw the tweet earlier today about Tony Vitello's baseball team and how, boy, they have a big offensive output too. And then Danny White was retweeting that, and that doesn't win games, but it's what he's got to do right now. He'll ultimately be judged on whether or not he does win games. But for right now, I think that he hasn't made a mistake yet, and that's all you can ask for at this time. So we'll see. Yeah. Anything else, Raj?
No, really. That's all I have. Good night. Good night.
Thank you, Raj. You too, buddy. Appreciate you. Appreciate all of you for calling in, making it happen. Want to say the word of thanks to Jets Pizza for feeding us today. I hope Nate Hodges made it out of there. Okay, he was in a big old time around 2 p.m. when I stopped by.
Imagine he's going to sleep like a baby tonight.
Call ahead, get it delivered. Jets Pizza in Farragut, fantastic place. And we are looking forward to doing a live show out there in the very, very near future. That's going to be a lot of fun. As it has been a while since we have been able to do a show at an eating establishment like that, and we have plans to do one next month. So stay tuned for details on that. All right, one more quick word of thanks for our friends here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. It's been a fantastic time out here today. I want to thank Chad Withrow of Outkick.com for jumping on. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Adam
and
Alex.
Russ.
You're very welcome. All the hard work back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Alex Olive, Weird Pet Guy, and Adam Hickman. The great job on the top four and top five. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Folks, overtime is up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.